Yeah, I want to stop. Yeah, you can see. Yeah. Oh, I should start. I'm telling you, I should start. You should start. Okay. So. Bishop. Page 9.
Same packet?
Same one as last time.
Someone has my packet.
Okay. Recommendation. Think about this before she starts. Yeah. And it's like a surprising, like, conceptual idea, but not a bad one. Okay.
I bring everything.
Okay, so last time, come on down. Okay, so we had been in the middle of discussing the idea that the essence of tefillah was the idea of a person having this experience and the feeling of being omed lifnei melech, that you're standing in front of the King of Kings, and when a person has that in mind, right, and he understands that that's what he's doing, that's the basic action of tefillah, then of course a person can add, you know, different, you know, kavanah and all that when he's actually doing the davening in terms of what he's saying and why he's saying like that, but the basic mitzvah, if you ask yourself, what is a tefillah? What does it mean to daven? Right. So we had seen, and we you know, brought this based on the Rambam, based on Reb Chaim's ideas in the Rambam. We saw a grot to this effect that, right, that the yisod, the essential element of tefillah, the foundation of all tefillah, is going to be that experience of a person standing face to face with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and engaging whatever kind of conversation. So today we're going to go on a little bit more with that idea, some different makoros, and then we're going to move into some even halachos that reflect that idea, and we can think a little bit when we're davening, you know, about some of the things that we're doing. So we're going to be picking up on page 9 over here, and on page 9 there's a collection of a couple of Maamar Chazal and different Maamar Makamos about this idea. So for example, you have a Gemara here in Sanhedrin Daf Kavbeis. Right, very, very similar. Mispalil, when a person is davening, tzarach shiyira atzmo ki'ilu shechina kinegdil. The person has to view himself as if the shechina is standing in front of him. Shenem, like it says, shivisi Hashem lenegdi samet. I'm placing Hashem in front of me constantly. Okay? And basically the same exact idea that we were seeing explained in a slightly different way by Chazal. This is not just icing on the cake. This is just not just like a nice thing to be able to do. But that is the tefillah. Does a person feel when he's davening that the shechina is kinegdil? The shechina is there, right in front of him. Azora Kadosh and Parshas Veschanan, also cited in the Mishnah Berurah Siman Tzadi Aleph. We're going to be looking at this Mishnah Berurah soon. Open in front of me. Man dekoim bitzlusa. If a person is standing up and getting ready to daven. Boy, the ksuye reishe vi'einoi. He has to cover his head. He has to cover his eyes. Begin to lo yistakel b'shchinta, so he shouldn't be staring at the shchina. Right, fascinating. Right. Similarly, we have an idea when a person is standing and watching. If you ever get a chance to experience Birkas Kohanim, so you remember, right, that we don't actually look at the hands of the Kohanim and all that. And the Chazal are telling us, and we all people get like very like apprehensive about, oh my gosh, like the Kohanim don't look. But Lamaisa, the Zohar Kadosh says, the same thing is true when a person is davening. Now that's very interesting, right? Because when you're davening, oftentimes you think you're just staring at a table, you're staring at a shtender, maybe your sitter, maybe the guy next to you, in front of you, behind you, and all of that. But the Zohar Kadosh is telling us, right, that a person should be davening in a sanua kind of a way to avoid staring at the shechina. Eich yachol yistakel b'shechinta, and how could you possibly stare at the shechina? Ela linda, but you have to know, the vaday shechinta kaime kame. It is for sure the case, 100%, that the shechina is standing there in front of you when you're diving. You might not see it with your physical eyes, you might not realize that because you haven't been thinking about it. It says in Zohar HaKadosh, lest you ask the question, like, what do you mean, don't stare at the Shechina? So here it comes, it says, you know, no, but that is the way things are. Now, what does that mean exactly? So let's analyze like a little bit more. The way it's brought in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says as follows. I just want to quote some of these halachas, then we're going to move on with some further ideas. Isa v'Zohar v'Eschanan. The Zohar says in Parshas v'Eschanan. Again, he basically quotes the Zohar that we just read. What does it mean to cover your head and your eyes? Says the Zohar. We'll get to the question in just 1 second. Hainu, the Chafetz Chaim explains, betalis shel mitzvah. That reference to covering your head and looking like a little bit more formal or trying to cover your face, that's what a person does with his talis. V'chein ogim kayom v'chasas rosh adei naim betalis mitzvah v'shas tefilah shmoneh esrei. And that's what people do. And he's quoting this in the name of the Prima Gadim who discusses this halacha. That's what people do when they daven. They cover their head with their talis. Man depaka chenoi v'shas slosei. He continues from another line of the Zohar. If you open your eyes and stare, makdim alei malach hamavis. That's inviting, a scary line, inviting the Malach HaMavis to come along and we'll call it visit the person, Rachman Aleitzlan. And then he tells you to take a look at one other Mishnah Berurah where the Chafetz Chaim explains that the Shulchan Aruch says when a person is davening, he should look down so that his eyes are staring at the ground. And he points out if a person, and quotes the name of the Sefer Chassidim, one of the early Achronim, who brings that if a person looks up, he says, like you're staring at the roof, if you start just staring around during the evening, ha-malachim maligim aleim, it says in the Mishnah Berurah, that lashon, the angels, the malachim, laugh at that person, okay? And then he brings some other ideas. A person shouldn't make a tenua mishuna, a person shouldn't shuckle in funny kinds of ways. Why? Because that looks just not necessarily appropriate, and it looks weird to do when you're standing in front of Hashem. And then he brings his follows. Kasvu achronim. Shekol mi she'eino otzim eino b'shas tefila shmon esrei eino zokra liros p'nei shechina b'tzei snapshot. If a person doesn't keep his eyes closed, just try to listen carefully because I want you to hear the end of the sentence also. Don't get like freaked out at the beginning. If a person doesn't keep his eyes closed during shmon esrei, stares around the room, etc., when his neshama leaves his body and he goes to shemayim, that person won't have the schus of looking at the shechina. Ach, says the Chafetz Chaim, I just want to read this quickly before we get nervous. However, im ispalo b'sidr ve'enov pekuchos kedei liros bo, if a person is dabbing with a sitter and he keeps his eyes open in order to be able to like read the sitter and see what's going on, he wants to be able to dab in properly and say all the words, less than by that, there's certainly nothing wrong with, and that's totally okay to do. But if a person is like just like staring around during the middle of davening, well, a lot of questions that one. First, they're just staring around during the middle of davening. So the Chazal point and say that's not, already not a great thing to do. And again, the media connected me. If a person is supposed to be feeling when he's davening that he's having this experience of I'm talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm talking to the Shechina standing in front of me, but you're not doing that. When you're davening, you're moving your lips and you're staring at your friend, you know, next to you, or you're watching like this and wondering like where, I don't know, whatever, does that guy really need a haircut or whatever else you're staring at. So when if that's your attitude during davening and you're not taking the opportunity now to experience that you're talking face to face to Hashem, so the Chazal say a very, very severe thing. Well, that's right. In Olam Haba, that's going to detract from and diminish the person's ability to be looking at the Shechina face to face. You didn't feel like doing it now. Okay, so you're not going to get that opportunity a little bit later on. But of course, as the Chafetz Chaim brings over here, in the name of the Achron, when a person is keeping his eyes open to actually stare in the sitter, that is totally okay and great to do. Interesting little tidbit. We're moving into Rosh Hashanah right now. Again, questions in just a minute. So we all know that the Rosh Hashanah davening, especially by Musaf, is massively long, right? And we only say it twice a year, the first and second day on Rosh Hashanah. So the likelihood that people actually like know that Shemona Esrei by heart, they can like keep their eyes closed and, you know, envision that they're talking to Hashem like we were describing last week, that's obviously going to be very, very hard to do. There we tend to actually like use a machzor, right? And the truth is, it's sort of nice in Rosh Hashanah that most of us don't know how to daven like by rote, because we actually have to look at the words. It's like one of those like opportunities to get used to doing that. So interesting, Reb Chaim Brisker, right, the great Reb Chaim, before Rosh Hashanah used to take time. He was so careful with this idea of like picturing that you're standing, which is fitting because he was like one of the famous ones who developed this concept. He so wanted to be able to daven and feel like he was standing talking to the Shechina face to face, that he would take the time in the days leading up to Rosh Hashanah to make sure to memorize the entire Shemona Esrei, Shachris, Musaf, you know, Mila b'Mila, so that he could actually daven without using a sitter and have the full, you know, feel that he liked to have. That's pretty good. Again, it could be Reb Chaim had a memory when, and maybe it was like a little bit better in the brains department than a lot of us are, which it appears that he was when you look at who Reb Chaim was. But at the same time, like, you know, it was interesting that with all of the interest in learning and spending time, you know, being involved in making Chidushei Torah, etc., but he actually took the time before Yom Tov to prepare to daven properly. That in of itself is a very important lesson. Like, sometimes you got to take the time leading up to big things to actually do things to make sure you're ready, make sure it's going to go well, you can experience things as best as you possibly can. Okay, now we're going to take questions. I have a feeling we're going to veer into a couple of different things, so let's roll. We're going to go in which direction? Oh my gosh. Go. Yeah. Bo, what'd you say? Well, okay. Go. All the things we're talking about are about the Shemona Esrei. In other words, the Shemona Esrei is the only time they really engaged in actual, real, heavy tefillah. By the way, we have a low ceiling here, so it's not even so hard to look at the roof. Like, just avoid doing that. Yeah. Keep going. If you wait, you're going to be there until next year. Right. Just keep going. Right. So don't do that, because it's not going to happen. So
don't
keep
going.
Don't
read that. Right. You're saying don't wait like, for it to happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, but keep questions. Right, so what are you asking? What do you do? Meaning, if you're waiting, daven slower, say don't wait.
And how come if you're not married, you're not supposed to tell us
yet? Great, because you don't wear tallis at all, so you can't wear it on your head. No, why? How come I don't wear tallis before I'm married? Okay, great. Oh, I mean, why? Because wearing a tallis over your head is considered a certain degree of kavod that people who are not yet married don't totally deserve. So you just wear your hat or whatever it is that you were wearing. This way, yeah.
Is it better to daven?
No, wait, pause. Oh. I skipped, sorry.
Is that why you're not allowed to walk in front of someone they're davening? Because
the shkiel is right there. Shh. At the bottom of the page, Mr. Burra brings right down over here, and some kuf beis, us to lav, where you can't walk in front of a person. Now, here's a machlokas in the mepharshim. Some rishonim hold, b'nei shemavatil. Now we're just like doing one of the things on the sheet. There's officially, we're back now, thank you. B'nei shemavatil kavanaso al yidei zeh. Okay? One opinion says just because he's going to mess up his kavana, and therefore you shouldn't do that. If that's the case, he brings that even by other tefillahs, not just Shemona Esrei, you shouldn't go stepping on a guy who's saying Kriya Shema because you want him to be able to focus. The Chai Adam Kasaf Atam, the Chai Adam though says no. The reason why you can't walk in front of a guy who's davening Shemona Esrei, they should mafsik bein hamispala lashchina. He's talking to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the same way, if I'm talking to a friend, it's not really so appropriate. This is manners, by the way. When two people are talking, you don't like walk in between them. You ever notice that? Israelis are very good at that. Just like walk. If that's like the quickest way of just going there, it doesn't matter what you're doing. But it's really not the right thing to do. Not so derech eretz. Same issue when it comes to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. When you're talking to God, right? So it's not nice that I should like walk in and butt in the middle of the conversation, right? So that is true.
Is it better to daven Shemona Esrei and other tefillos from memory or from the sitter?
If you remember that, well, again, the Shemona Esrei, it is in theory better to daven by heart if you can do that. In other words, and if you can actually have like a proper kavanah. Again, it's harder for a person to picture himself that he's like in Shemayim and like spiritual when he's just like staring at everybody else, right? So if you want to get, and we're going to learn about this in the next sheet, which we might not get up to tonight, but if a person really wants to feel that he's like flying high in Shemayim, it's going to be harder to do that when you're just looking around and you're like, you see that you're just standing in the same place that you are like all day in a base medrash in the shul or wherever it is. So having the eyes closed is in theory better, but that's only if you can actually, you know, do it. If you're not sure of all the words, you're not sure of all the pronunciation like that, it's definitely better to daven with a sitter, you know, and like go through and try your best to have like in mind, you know, what you're doing, and then eventually you can graduate to keeping your eyes closed. But the other tefillahs, it probably is better to daven from a sitter. Like if you certainly shouldn't be like staring around or whatever it is, right? So if you can daven from the beginning of brachos to the end of shachris with your eyes closed, which is like hard and maybe like annoying, that would be like, I guess, like, you know, why not if you really know all the words? But definitely, you know, they use a sitter for other things. Definitely better. It's definitely better to do.
Kind of on that note, is it better to either daven at, I guess, bapeh and have a lot of kavana, but maybe you're not being so makbid on the words, or is it better to make sure that you're saying that
word? No, say the words. Say the words. Not makbid on the words means like you like skip like some of them.
No. Not makbid on the words is in like you may miss a pronunciation.
It's a hard call. You should try to get used to saying the words for a little bit, and then once you are zochet to be able to do that by rote without thinking, so then you can, you know, go back to the avenue without thinking. Yeah.
What you do,
that way. Wait. Go. No. No. We went around there.
Multiple times within the avenue, where the words are the same, but two different parts, but the words afterward are not. Right. What if you forget which one you're at?
First one.
Shimon.
Yeah, if you're not sure, then you should. Yeah, which may, you gotta cover your bases. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on a little bit. So right now we'll be. What was that? Yeah. Okay. So that is that. Now we should be aware, just for the record's sake, that the Lamaisa, like we really, most people in the world don't practice exactly the way it's brought in the Zohar, and what the Prima Gadam that the Mishnah Berurah quoted said over here, that a person covers his face entirely with his talis. But we do a partial thing, because we know that there are other places in Kabbalah, the Arizal taught and others, that a person always says, this is, has a base in the Tosas and a couple of places in Shas. There seems to be a real interest in terms of like the pure, like halachic parts of things, to not cover your tefillin shorosh. That should always be exposed and invisible. So if you're really going to like throw your talis over your head and like, you know, blank it up like that, so that obviously can't happen. So what some people do is you make sure the talis is not covering the tefillin, and then you have like the blinders like a horse has, like they just keep your eyes like this, so you can just be focused on the sitter, keep your eyes closed. Some people might even close their talis a little bit over their eyes, but they don't understand their practice. Is if you put your talis over your head, you know, leave the tefillin open, but just have the sides of the talis like over there. And at least then you can't really like be staring at everything and anything that's out there.
Over your head and being on top of the tefillin, with like the front still showing versus
The tefillin should be open. Yeah, the tefillin should be. Huh? Yeah, you should be able to see it from all four sides. Yeah.
When you're not married.
I'm saying when I'm just like saying right down the line, like just be aware. That's the what you're gonna be doing. Veshatovim mitzlachas. Okay. Now let's not get too far down the line here. Svardim wear talis before they're married, and again, most it depends on which flavor of Svardi you are. Like, you know, some people do wear their talisim over their head even when they're not married. Others, don't. It depends on like whatever your particular menhagim are. But that goes in different ways.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on a little bit over here. And we're gonna talk about two other inyanim that relate to this idea of a person having the experience of actually talking with the Shechina. Now, let me just remind ourselves over here, right? And I'm saying something that maybe should be obvious and maybe not, so let's just make sure it's obvious. One of the things that a person should learn how to do, this is like a very general comment also, not just limited to what we're learning right now, when there are halachos that are like based on certain like reasons. Let's say what we're learning over here, right? We had a couple of inyanim in halacha right now, right? A person, like Avichai pointed out, the idea that you're not supposed to walk in front of someone when they're davening Shemoneh Esrei, because like you don't interrupt like walking between you and the Shechina. So when a person like encounters that halacha, let's say, and they go out of their way not to walk right in front of the guy davening Shemoneh Esrei. So what you want, in theory, and this is like a way to live a little bit more of an enriched, fulfilled Jewish life, to like be cognizant of, why am I doing what I'm doing? Oh, yeah, I don't want to go there because the Shechina is there, right? That guy is like talking to Hashem. Next thought you have in mind, hey, you know what? If like the Shechina is there when he's talking to Hashem, you know, it just might be that
he's
When I'm doing the same thing, hey, like remind myself like a little bit what's going on. You get a sensitivity to tefillah when you're thinking in those terms. In other words, if it's just a mechanical thing, I go like this when I walk into the Beis Medrash, like when I'm leaving after I'm done the Shemoneh Esrei early and everyone else is still davening. I'm not sure why it takes me so quick and everyone else so long. If that's happening, right, don't just like walk out and blow your nose, like actually stop and think, hey, the Shechina is in this room and why did I finish so early? And maybe next time try harder. That kind of a thing. Like get used to the idea that that's there. When a person gets used to the idea, you know what? I'm going to daven and I'm going to close my eyes during Shemoneh Esrei, or be careful, I don't want to stare around the room. I'm really going to try now to keep my eyes focused on the Siddur. Right, we read this Mishnah Berurah before, Simin Tzadei Hey, that if you don't, you're not careful about not staring at all the places that the Shechina is during davening. Right? I think I have a beautiful that idea that is. That if I'm not careful about not staring at all these Shechinas that are floating around, and I might not be Zoche in my own life or afterlife to be able to be Zoka to actually, you know, see the Shechina later on, right? And I'm going to keep my eyes in my Siddur, I'm going to keep my eyes closed and be focused on what I'm doing, because I'm also talking to the Shechina now and I got to be sensitive, not look. If you're thinking about that, obviously your experience of davening is going to be totally different. That's a much, much, you know, better and more beautiful and more appropriate way to be engaged in tefillah. One other comment about this, and then we'll get to the next, you know, the next two a little bit more hashkafa alone oriented points. In the same place in Siman Sadi Aleph, where we quoted this idea of the person not staring around, there's another very interesting halacha that's also based on the same principle. In other words, what I'm trying to show you right now is where the thought trickles down into some practical things that are there to concretize the feel and concretize the mindset for us in as best of way as it can. So for example, Shulchan Aruch brings Siman Sadi Aleph Sif Aleph. It's not in the sheet. I should have put it here. I didn't. So I apologize. He said, "Talis chagura al masnav the chasoso mi masnav ulamata." If a person's covered from his waist down, in other words, he is waist down. He's wearing pants, wearing a towel around his bottom, whatever it is. But up on top, from his waist and up, his chest is exposed. He's doing like the Incredible Hulk, you know, kind of a thing. It's usurly hispalel achia chasali. But that person is not allowed to daven until he puts a shirt on his chest and gets a little bit more, gets a little bit more covered up. Okay. Now, why is that true? So the Mishnah Berurah points out a very interesting thing. When it comes to davening kriyashma, okay, the other parts of tefillah, right, except for Shemoneh Esrei, so as long as a person's erva is covered up, that's going to be totally fine. You're basically dressed at a bare minimum halachic dress code. That's called, like, you're not looking like an animal right now, and you got yourself covered up. Okay.
Like a gartel, some sort of separation.
For Kriyat Krishma, you, so if your waist is covered, you're covered with that you know, that gartel thing also. So that's going to be fine for over there. When it comes to tefillah, on the other hand, the halacha says as a bare minimum, you have to have your top, your chest, right, the torso, whatever you want to call it, covered up also. Why? The same exact point that we've been making up until now. Since the experience of tefillah is that you are there talking to the melech, you're there talking directly to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so the halacha requires that you have to emphasize, a bare minimum sensitivity to what it is that you're doing. Explains the Chafetz Chaim, Soruch hu liros etz atzmo, kilu hu omei lifnei hamelech, umedaber be'ema. You have to envision yourself, then you are standing there talking to the king, and you're doing that with a degree of reverence and awe. It's not stam, like, you know, saying words. You got to realize what you're doing. And again, that halacha once again reminds us, hey, why am I slipping on my shirt right now? That's right, because I'm sitting here and I'm talking to the melech. Now, the Mishnah Berurah points out, as this simen develops in Siman Sadi Aleph. Again, it's worth it to take a look at. Mishnah Berurah develops an idea over and over again throughout all the different halachos that come out in this din. Again, there's not like halachos here right now, but for example, some of that you can't have your feet uncovered. You have to have some kind of shoes on. You can't just be davening in pajamas. All different things that are coming up over here. So the Chafetz Chaim says the Chafetz Chaim says that all of these halachos, and there's a lot of them that are mentioned over here, they're all now trying to up the ante a little bit of what's called to be dressed in a way that expresses that I'm being omeid lifnei hamelech, right? So in my pajamas, okay, listen, I'm covered, but truth be told, like, You know, it's not really like a nice thing to be doing when you're davening. You're wearing, you know, just your sandals without socks on your feet. Okay, but you know that's you're talking to a melech. You shouldn't be standing here talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu with your feet open like that. The Chafetz Chaim points out in this, you know, siman over here, that the more a person dresses himself when he davens, corresponding to that experience of being omed lefnei melech, so then his tefillah is also going to be enhanced. That's a greater kiyum, a greater fulfillment of this din of, hey bud, wake up and realize what you're doing. Chavetz Chaim points out that the best thing for a person to do is to be davening, even wearing like in our days when we dress like you're dressing nice or fancy. The person puts on a jacket, he looks like he's, you know, doing something a little bit more, you know, getting dressed up. So all of those kinds of things are considered to be in sync with that experience. Hey, you're being omed lifnei amelach, and the more you feel that, the more you do that, the more the greater off you'll be. I knew people growing up, not a lot of them, and this is definitely not like the common practice, but I definitely knew some people who were makpid to wear a tie during davening. They would like put on a tie and like actually try to get, you know, dressed up a little bit. The truth is, like, there you know, something attractive about that, you know, that idea. It makes a lot of sense. Now again, so we do like certain minimums. You put on a jacket to look a little bit better. But that definitely is, we should just to be aware, this is not an advertisement for wearing davening. I mean, it is. This is an advertisement for wearing jackets during davening, because the truth of the matter is, yes, that does reflect a little bit better what our mode and what our feel is when you're davening. He pointed other things, not to wear gloves, all different kinds of gear. A lot of people are trying to be makbid if they can, let's say during the winter time, if they put on
boots.
Yeah, boots, like those little like rubber things that cover your feet and shoes. You know what I'm talking about? Galoshes, that's the word, yeah. The galoshes, right? So many people try, if they can, to maybe take those off if they're davening. If, you know, if they have time and they can make sure that their feet aren't like sopping wet, or they're not going to like destroy the shul if they like flip over the galoshes in the middle of the thing. Why? Because that's also not like the, you know, smoothest, coolest look that you possibly, and not the galoshes aren't cool, they are, like when you're outside, when you're in a shul, you know, maybe try to get them off, if at all possible. Obviously, if someone is either freezing cold, sopping wet, or whatever it is, you know, there are times when a person's going to wear his coat when he's davening, if he's davening in a freezing cold thing, he's, you know, going to get sick from it. Obviously, if you know, again, there are experiences where a person has to give in to the elements a little bit, but as a general rule, that's like the feel and the direction that a person wants to take during davening. That's why, from a pure perspective of being omed lifnei hamelech, right? And a person, let's say, he wants to wear a jacket during davening because he wants to feel that he's standing there talking to the king. So what sometimes you'll find people have like their special davening sweatshirt or their davening like windbreaker that they'll put on, like my davening jacket, but it's not really like a, whatever you call this, jacket. What was that? Sport jacket, suit jacket, one of these, because everyone plays sports in their, right, in their things.
Blazer.
But their blazers, whatever you want to call them. In the olden days, fancy people, when he went to play like polo or whatever it was, you put on, that's what's called the sport jacket. When sporting meant like to go hunting. So like in the olden days, if you were fancy and you went out like on a hunt, you would ride your nice little horse and you put on your thing and then you did your sport. That's what they call a sport jacket, because even though you don't play football and basketball and these things. But you know, to just, you know, throw on a sweatshirt or a windbreaker, so that's not, you know, definitely not the full spirit of the idea of being omed lifnei hamelech. Yeah. Take a look at these. All the details. Take a look. Simon Kuf Beis. If you want to see, it's all there in the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, meaning like you'll figure it. Just there are a lot of different halachas. Not all relevant right now. Yeah.
How are people
done while wearing shorts? That's a great question. The answer is yes and no. Or no and yes. Or both, or maybe. There is a Mishnah in Megillah that a pocheyach is not allowed to daven Shmoneh Esrei. What is a pocheyach? See, Machlok is Rashi tells. Rashi seems to learn that means a person wearing shorts is not allowed to daven Shmoneh Esrei. Tosa says it means a guy who's wearing a tank top is not allowed to. That's also not considered covered,
so
for a thing.
Sure,
Short of the tank, then you're covered. Then you're bad again every time, right? Right after the basketball game, right? Then you stomach, you are right. That's a violation of that din. Same halacha, the same inyan of being omel lefnei melech, right? Like that. So
it's better to be the word tefila.
Pocheach, like pocheach es yadecha mizvil chachay razon, but not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it better to?
Bad joke. Okay.
Yeah.
Also not. Yeah. But again, if a person is, you for sure, like B'David or Yotze, if you do that, it's just not the most appropriate of things to be able to do. Here in Israel, a lot of people into dressing down. It's like a very like in thing in certain communities to like just like not care about like human decency. So so you will find that there are people in some like communities and shuls that like your kids in particular. Like we'll just like pop in, you're like wearing their shorts. It's not the nicest thing in the world. Definitely not the nicest thing in the world to do. For sure, better to wear pants and daven b'chitas. No question of this. Yeah, no question of this. Again, you know, this is going to sound a little funny. Don't take this the wrong way, and don't ask me questions about this either right now. But 100%. As important as it is to daven in the minyan, and we should all make every effort we humanly can to never miss davening with a minyan. We should try as hard as we can to always daven with a minyan. We're getting that down pat. Uvecholzot, or davening with a minyan, is not the most important part of davening, right? This is going to sound a little like obvious. Davening is the most important part of davening. Now, davening means a person has to have all of these. You know, things in place, you have to be able to daven with kavanah at the right times, all these kinds of things. Now, davening them, as important as it is, and it's very important, no, but there are other things that will override. You just get me on tape saying, don't daven with a minyan. I stopped the first part, and I'm like, only that one. I'm booming in the dorm the next week, okay? What was that? A prep will be a person, may, if you really can press them, maybe you should rest before that. If a person will not, again, you have to be, you know, there it's you gotta be careful. In other words, what does that really mean? You know, if a lot of times, the, you know, I really actually mean this in all seriousness. I didn't clap what you were setting me up for when you said it, because I was actually going to ask when I answered the question. There's two things. Let's start low, and then we'll bounce high. Low is, but I'm going to say, give me a break. Do you think after you slept for 17 hours straight, you're actually really going to have kavanah anyway when you're davening? No, you're not. Whatever you're going to do, because like a lot of it, like we're not like holding up there yet, right? So whatever we're going to do after we are well rested, we probably can pull off doing when we're a little bit tired. Now, if a person is at a state where he's just collapsing, right? Like he just like falling, lamashal, right? There was a yeshiva run by a great, one of the great gedolim named Shmelka Nikolajberger. He was one of the great, great early Hasidim from like right after the time of the Baal Shem Tov. And Shmelka Nikolajberger had a very intensive yeshiva. Anyone who's complaining about the yeshiva schedule, please listen to the following. Okay? In that yeshiva, you were only allowed to be in the yeshiva if you never slept in a bed. You had to learn until you dropped. And if a person went to sleep, meaning to say if you took the time to go to bed, and that shows you had the koach to get to bed and go to sleep, right? You would be expelled from the yeshiva. You learned until you collapsed. That's the way it was. There was one time in the middle of a shir that Rav Shmelka Nikolajberger asked the Talmud, can you go, you know, can you bring a safe from the Ismerish that we need for shir? The boy didn't come back. They went to find him. He was collapsed in the hall, okay, with a safer in hand, with his hand like this. He just like was sleeping. He just didn't make it back. Like he just fell like collapsed and other thing. And they threw him out. And Rav Shmelka said, if he had the koch to go like this and lay down comfortably, that's it, right? You learn until you drop. Okay. Now, that guy might have had an excuse to like, right, like maybe let's instead of davening mincha, now I'll sleep a little bit and I'll wake up and I'll daven mincha like with a head, like be able to clip. But if you're not there. Right, so then I was like answering a little bit the wrong question. If you're not that so gone Madrega, yes, you should like daven and like just work at waking yourself up, take a drink, wake yourself up, shake your head back and forth, stick your head under a sink, have banners scream in your ears or something like that, it'll wake you up, and you got that, good job, just like scream and yell at somebody, so then you'll be okay, and you should definitely daven. But sometimes a person the Chazon Ish, when he was older, at the end of his life, had a very difficult time eating, and they couldn't feed. He couldn't eat. Why couldn't he eat? And he went sometimes for days without consuming food. An unbelievable story. Really, really unbelievable. Actually, I mean, it's true. That's it. But it's when it gets believable because it happened. But if it didn't happen, it would have been unbelievable. Because sometimes they're unbelievable. It's like it's believable. It happened. Like, but it's you can believe it. But it's whatever. It's taking too long. You know what I mean by unbelievable? It means like it's like an unbelievable. Like whatever. Unbelievable story. The Chazon Ish, when he was older, wouldn't eat. And for days without eating, and people used to yell at him and scream at him. And eventually, he was Megala. Why wouldn't he? He said, I don't have the koach to make a bracha properly with the koach that I like to do. I'm so weak. Like now that I can't. How can I eat without making a bracha? But I can't make a bracha. I'm not able to like really stop and think about what I'm saying. Because he put in so much, right, to his tefillah, to his davening, to his talking to Hashem that like he didn't want to cheapen that. And so if it meant I won't eat, so I won't eat. Okay, fine. But I'm not making a bracha. What? I don't know. I can't tell you. I know later in the year, in a little bit, in a couple of months, we're going to have a series of different people come in, we're Talmidim of different Gedolim, to speak about. There are different Yartzeis that come up in November time, in the middle of Cheshvan. So we're going to have someone who comes who is very, very close to the Chazon Ish. And so he told a tremendous, I don't want to spoil it, but you'll forget it by then because it's like more than 5 minutes away from now. The Chazon Ish was davening, and someone walked into the Beis Medrash with a Shaila Pikuach Nefesh. That had to be passed in there. There was Mamish something that had to pass on the spot. They went to the Chazon Ish, and he was davening Shmoneh Esrei, so they tapped him on the shoulder to interrupt because you'd be allowed to stop in the middle of davening to pass in a Shaila. And there was no response. He was a very intense davener. Excuse the whatever it is, isn't that called abuse? Don't call the guy down the board. But they shook him a little bit like this, like to get his attention, and like nothing doing. They screamed into his ear, Chazon Ish, there's a Shai Pikuach Nefesh. Gone, like out to lunch in the middle of davening, nothing doing. The person here said he saw the story. What they did was they took him by the shoulders and picked him up in the air and held him up in the air like upside down. And then they screamed into him, and that got him. That they were able to catch attention like that. I noticed like that he was there. And then after they put him back down, and then he only kept on davening. So that's how about that? I'm not gonna do it, you know what I'm saying? But that's like a great image of somebody who's like really, yes, having kavanah and being, I don't know how we digress into that. But talking about being omeid lifnei amelech and trying to daven properly. So a lot we gotta do. Okay. Here's the story. 7 o'clock, since supper is shortened right now, we're actually gonna start at 7. Notice by the way how the minute hand is so beautifully placed right in between the one and the two. We're stopping on the dot right now, and please enjoy your appetizer supper. And 7:30 sharp is night dinner, stark hour, 7:30 to 8:30.
We're about like falling asleep.
Let's eat.
Like mom is falling asleep.
Appetize.